Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. It cannot come except as now. So it's now, the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness, is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention. Notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, one of the most challenging practices of our lives is to be absolutely present. Have you recognized that? It's as if, you know, we're either somewhere too far in the past or we're projecting so much into the future that we're just sometimes not always really capable of just being grateful of what this moment actually offers our lives. And it makes us actually not feel so well. Despite however great life might be, I'll find something is happening in the consciousness, in our thoughts, where we're regretting something of the past, or we want to go back to somewhere in the past, or it's just not enough where I am, and I'm constantly projecting into the future, moving too far ahead of myself and not even qualifying the soul to be even prepared to sustain what I think I deserve or what I want. And so it's my recommendation, it's something that I try on myself as well, to just pay attention to where you are at present and know that where you've gotten to in life is a result of every thought, word, and action you've percolated in your consciousness and the intentions. The intentions behind those thoughts, words, and actions have brought us to where we are today. And if for whatever reason it feels like it's outdated, like I don't need to be here anymore, I'm not here anymore, I'm where I was supposed to be, but I've moved on, I'm somewhere else, then bid it farewell with love, with grace, with dignity, and say, c'est la vie. One of the most important aspects that we've come to realize is that our thoughts have a lot to do with our emotional, physical, definitely spiritual well-being. And if we can't try to cure ourselves or make ourselves better from a thought level, then it's very difficult to find something externally to keep us healthy and to keep us wise. Don't touch the dial. I'm going to be talking to Dr. Sadehi, who's going to be talking a lot about his love movement, but also about his books. And also, I'll share with you a story as to how to find out about this amazing individual in our planet. But before I go to Dr. Sadehi, let me just get us to Sanatan Core. Here is People of Love. Welcome back, everyone. That was Sanatan Kaur, People of Love. And don't we need that now? And but we also have it. We also have the energy of love. And if we can just use it, especially when we're in front of a loveless energy, that's when we can recognize that we're the people of love. And today gives me great privilege to welcome Dr. Habib Sadehi, who is, you know, awakening the body's natural ability to heal. So Dr. Sadehi is the founder of Beehive of Healing Integrative Medical Center in Agoura Hills, California. He specializes in a multidisciplinary approach to chronic illnesses such as cancer and autoimmune disease with comprehensive treatment protocols that basically incorporate a wide range of interventions. Now, his success in integrating Eastern and Western treatment modalities has earned him a respected reputation, resulting in patient base that reaches around the globe. Dr. Sadehi is a frequent presenter and sought-after expert within the international holistic medical community on psychosomatic illnesses and the phenomena of somaticizing unresolved emotional trauma into physical disease. He's currently a clinical instructor of family medicine at Western University of Health Sciences and is also the co-founder of the Love Button Global Movement, which I just love. He's also the author of two books, The Clarity Cleanse, which Sister Gita has been reading, and Within, A Spiritual Awakening to Love and Weight Loss. Can I welcome you, an incredibly smart, amazing, amazing person, Dr. Sadehi. Welcome to America Meditating Radio.
Thank you for that kind and generous introduction, Sister Jenna. I'm very grateful and humble.
I think we reduced it so much because of time, because there was so much more we could say about you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, and it's a privilege to be here.
It's our privilege. We were in India, and I met a close friend of yours, Dr. Fujian Zain, and another friend, Marla Maples. And all of a sudden, both of these ladies at different time periods brought out love buttons. And that's how I came to hear about Dr. Habib Sadehi in India. Do you love that or what?
Well, I feel so blessed. India is, for me, a crucible of awakening my own consciousness. So I feel touched and humbled that that was your introduction to that line of energy that moves through me, that which inspires me. You know, the songs that you played, we are people of the heart. We are that. And science has already proven through heart math research that every individual, all 7.85 billion of us, we're a battery, electromagnetic field,
yeah.
And that can be measured, and it's 12 feet away, or for some of us, perhaps even further out. So, that's really what this is about, loving.
Yeah, and everyone who's listening on the air, while we were in India, we were 5,000 feet above sea level in the Aravalli Mountains at the Brahma Kumaris, where I host a retreat for guests on my radio show, America Meditating. And here comes Marla Maples with love buttons out of the blue, right? And then here comes Dr. Fujian Zain, says, Sister Jenna, I have these buttons, a very dear friend of mine. And I said, let's give these love buttons to all the 70 countries that we have here on the mountaintop and let everybody really be more in love. And everyone, we placed our love buttons on, and it was just a beautiful moment for us. And so I'm just so glad that Dr. Habib is really doing the Love Button Global Movement, because it couldn't be more timely than at this time. But let's talk now about his medical career. In his younger years, I've heard that you've had a bout with cancer, and after surgery, you chose not to take your doctor's approach of, you know, intensive chemotherapy and medication, but you started to explore other healing modalities. Can you share with us what made you make that decision, and how did you get more interested in integrative medicine?
I was second year in medical school, and I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And this was, just as a background, this was the time where Scott Hamilton, the gold skater, nearly died from the same disease, testicular cancer. Lance Armstrong, the cyclist, he died. Part of his brain was removed, lungs. And so this was scary. And I took a sabbatical, and I went to India. And I started backpacking and noticing and reflecting, and really being more in touch and engaged with this ontological experience called life. And that really changed everything for me. That's when I started realizing years of trauma during my childhood and some challenges in terms of a history of sexual abuse may have contributed to what I was experiencing. And as I connected the dot, I realized that I couldn't really move forward and become a neuro-ophthalmologist. I wanted to have a more in-touch approach. That's why I chose family medicine. And then I moved on. I completed my medical training. I did a residency in family medicine. And then I started a three-year master's program in spiritual psychology with emphasis, a fellowship in consciousness, health, and healing, to really understand this idea, coin. On one side, there is body, and on the other side is mind, and how to really understand the interconnectedness. And that's what I've been doing, and that's such a joy to do what I do.
Yeah, I bet it is, and there's nothing, I think, more compelling than when you've lived the experience of it. So you're not just speaking from a book perspective only, you're speaking from a soul perspective. You are said to have achieved impressive results in patients that are suffering, especially from serious chronic illnesses, through your approach. I mean, okay, for example, I have my mother, and she's a wonderful spirit. Everybody knows her and loves her. But she is suffering from a tremendous trauma as a child, being orphaned at 7, you know, abused, raped, all of these things, and having no one to talk to. But she gets into her spirituality, and she heals pretty much a big part of herself. But there's still that small percentage, that part of you that you just can't let go, that it seems so familiar that perhaps even if you let it go, you won't know what to do. And isn't it true that many of us just get accustomed to feeling ill consistently, or you know, we just have surrendered to chronic illness as a part of our story? And I'd like if you can share with us a little bit about, you know, how do we break this pattern of accepting chronic illness, and what's been some of your approaches that you've used that's been so successful?
It's such a beautiful question. There's a French philosopher that says, the answer is the death of the question. And your question is so beautiful that I'm almost, I don't want to answer it because it's so brilliant that if we were to be just with the inquiry, there be a particular holding pattern that human beings can inadvertently keep pulling in, not knowing that that they really are entrenched in it, that they're part of contributing to the very disease that they want to get rid of. You're absolutely right. I think all of us, we've experienced disrobing and swimming in this mystery, in this ocean. And we feel like we want to swim in one direction, but then there's undercurrents that they pull us in a separate direction. And this is something that I actually have invested a significant amount of my time. See, if we were to take a month and really notice what it is to be a human being. Most of us are unaware that we have thoughts all the time. The brain, it's like a cement maker. You know, it can't stop. If it stops, it's just no good anymore. You got to throw away the cement maker. Even most people, they're unaware that we spend more calories at night when we go to bed than when we're awake. Why? Because the brain is continuously, it's making stories up called thoughts. What do these thoughts do? These thoughts create chemicals called neurotransmitters, serotonin, melatonin, GABA, glutamine, glutamate, epinephrine, norepinephrine, on and on and on and on. And these are just the tip of the iceberg that we know of, that we've discovered. What do? They create feelings. You feel good, you feel bad, you feel up, you feel down, you feel joyful, you feel depressed. And then what? Well, these feelings upregulate, shift, and change, and what I refer to as an emotional set point. And that's a personality, or based on anthroposophical philosophy, these are temperaments, and we get stuck in them. And it's difficult to get out of these holding patterns. that's why, you know, you do what you do. America meditates. I love that. It's like it just your mission statement is there. And what does that mean? It means to pause, create this space, and be truthful and be authentic and see, well, gosh, how am I contributing to this way of being? Is there a way that I keep saying I can't really stomach him or stomach her? And could that be contributing to my gastroesophageal reflux disease? If I say so-and-so is a pain in the neck, could the very linguistic abstraction, what comes out of my mouth, contributing to my somatic manifestation, to my neck pain or back pain? If I say someone is a pain in the tush, could that idea, could it be contributing to my hemorrhoids? And I'm here to tell you, empirically speaking, I mean, this is what I have observed and what I have seen. You're absolutely right on. So could it be that your mother, God bless her, when given the given soul curriculum that she has chosen,
mm-hmm.
and how much she's worked on herself, could it be that to some extent she's still reflecting and healing and clearing and letting go? Of course. And
yeah, I'm sure she
that's
is.
Why she's still
I'm sure
there.
She is. Yeah, I'm sure she is, Dr. Sadehi, because I think that, you know, our thoughts definitely determine how we're feeling. And she actually got a wind of your new book, The Clarity Cleanse. She doesn't really go deep into books, but she kept coming into my room. She kept saying, oh, I love this book. Oh, have you read this book, Jen? I love this book. So your new book, The Clarity Cleanse, 12 Steps to Finding Renewed Energy, Spiritual Fulfillment, and Emotional Healing, is making a very big impact on her life personally. So I know it's a culmination of several steps that lead to mental and physical clarity, but could you share what are some of these steps and how do you develop them? Because I found that one of the biggest problems with us is that we're just lazy, lazy in really stepping up and taking care of ourselves. And sometimes we wait until something tragic occurs for us to get moving. Talk to us about the book, though.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. So, you know, the only other person that I've shared what I'm about to share with you is my beloved, my wife. And no one has ever asked me, why did you publish this book on December 26th of last year? But that was very intentional because on December 26th, 1973, there was a movie that was released in 26 theaters. And that movie, the brilliant dialogue and the intention behind it, it really changed my life. That movie was The Exorcist. And most people, they're like, what, you know, they're afraid of it and they think it's a horror movie, but it isn't. It's the interaction between two psychiatrists, two priests, one of whom was a psychiatrist. And the younger priest that's a psychiatrist, there's a dialogue. His name is Crass, Damien Crass, and he says, there is not a day in my life that I don't feel like a fraud. There is not a day in my life that I don't feel like a fraud. Other priests, doctors, lawyers, I talk to them all. I don't know anyone who hasn't felt that. So the intent of really writing this book was to create a system that every human being could use to let go of this incarnation of misunderstanding and misperception and the judgments that we hold against ourselves. And I'm here to tell you that the recurrent of these judgments, they create a psychological terrain, a consciousness that contributes, if not cause, our physical illness. And what it does, it separates us from loving. You know, the interaction between Karas, the younger priest who's a psychiatrist, and the older Marin, it's beautiful. Karas asks Marin, the older priest, why this girl? It makes no sense. The older priest said something that was very brilliant. I think the point is to make us despair, to see ourselves as animal and ugly, to reject the possibility. And I'm here to tell you, the whole essence of sitting across from another human being and holding this space, supporting them, and giving them tools, specific tools, which could be a form of journaling that we refer to in the Clarity Cleanse as purged emotional writing, where you basically sit somewhere And you really reflect to see, well, what are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my emotions? What am I present to? What's coming up? And you actually put it on a piece of paper in a very specific way. And you get rid of it. You burn it. You ask, you know, questions. You go into forgiveness. And there's skill sets in terms of what linguistic abstraction to use. Most people, they're unaware that under Department of Justice, there's Department of Pardon. And so if you want someone to be pardoned, you can apply, and then the President of the United States can pardon them. And if you look at the question, the template that is used in pardoning, it's just so brilliant. Every human being, all of us, we have an opportunity to forgive ourselves against our shortcomings and some of the limitations and experiences we've had. Look at your mother. Look at what it must have been like to be an orphan and to have gone through the incredible challenges and atrocities that she's gone through. And yet, again, every morning she wakes up and she does what she does to be able to move forward and to contribute and to give life to you. Look at what you're doing and the conversations you're starting in.
Yeah, I've totally accepted and seen that because I think that's one of the strong points that comes out. And it's funny. Now I know why she goes outside and lights this fire with all these papers. It's because of what you told her to do in the book. And she's been doing that. And I just have to tell you, we just look at her from the window and we just say, let her be for whatever it is. She's really enjoying it. So thank you for giving her that step. I don't know what it's doing to her lungs. She's inhaling a lot of the smoke, but she's enjoying it. Before we close, do you want to talk anything more about the Love Button Global Movement or anything else about your practice? Because I know that our conversation actually really needs a part two or part three, because there's so much in the content of what you're offering us, and I don't think we can really, you know, even touch it deeply in 30 minutes or so. So I would love to have you on for part two. But is there anything you'd like to talk about Global Movement or even anything more about the book?
I think really the book is a byproduct of what occurred for me. And during the lowest of the low, when I felt like God was punishing me, and that's why I got cancer, and my anatomy partner sat across from me, Gary, and he said something that touched me. He looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, I don't know the God that you believe in is a loving God. And then he said, He who hasn't loved, hasn't known God yet. When I walked away from that conversation, I felt that I was walking taller, and my whole life changed. And so the Love Button Global Movement is really just a button that human beings can wear and they can give away. And the tagline, it's really simple, pause and love. And your listeners can learn more about it on lovebutton.org. And we've had the privilege of really being part of a humble conversation and encouraging our brothers and sisters to pause and to reflect and to hold this space for a new consciousness, for a new possibility, for the power of now to appear. And that's really what it means to be a human being. With the very short time that we have on this plane, we have an opportunity to love and to be of service.
That's beautiful. Love that. And are you on any tours for the book by chance?
You know, I'm really a very humble and low-key family doctor. And we did a few interviews and so forth, but I feel that the intention and the line of energy in the book has an energy of itself. So the people can find out more about it. It's called The Clarity Cleanse. And beingclarity.com is the website. They can find me on Instagram at Dr. Siddiqui, Dr. Habib Siddiqui, and the Beehive of Healing, a newsletter once a month. And I just want to take this opportunity, Sister Jenna. I've never had the privilege of being in your presence, but I'm just so...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.